What's up, people? It's your boy D-Raw, the Connoisseur, bringing you another episode of the Houston Sports Connoisseurs Podcast. Hey, don't forget to seek, listen, and learn to be a sports connoisseur just like me, your boy D-Raw, the Connoisseur. Also, get your Houston Sports Connoisseurs apparel. Man, we got it all for you, and it's just sitting there waiting. Show some love. Share, subscribe to the podcast. I'm on all podcast platforms that you love to listen to your favorite podcast on. Hey, today we're going to be covering a lot of things on episode 27. We got some NFL news we got to get to, some Texans talk, some NBA news, including the Houston Rockets, some college basketball news, including the Houston Cougars, and some boxing and much more. Stay tuned, listen, as we cover everything together, people. You're covering it with me, your boy D-Rock. So, getting into this Texans talk, man, it's free agency, and currently, if you didn't know, they did increase the salary cap. The salary cap actually increased by a pretty good margin. We're talking about $74 million additional for each club, so the players get more benefits as far as like payments and retirements and, you know, all that kind of stuff. Everything is like basically, you know, opening up so players get more money, clubs get more money to spend, and hey, the league is now pushing that $10.5 billion you know, just towards like players and salary cap and stuff overall. With that being said, one of the teams that benefit the most from this is the Houston Texans. And the Houston Texans went ahead and signed Dalton Schultz back. So we got our tight end back. Dalton Schultz was probably the best tight end in free agency right now that, you know, that was on the market. And it's nice to say that we have received him back. So he's back on the squad. And with that being said, that's a good thing for us. And we know we're moving in the right direction. Also, we got to get our number one kicker back. Kyrie Fairbairn, he's back. Kyrie got about 3 years, 36. No, Schultz got about 3 years, 36 million. Kyrie got about another, I think he got about 3 years as well. I want to say, yeah, he got 3 years, $15.9 million. So we get a kicker that's at the top of the league right now back. So we get to clear that up. We got a top tight end. Now, none of those guys are, you know, anybody new to the team yet. We don't know what's going to happen with Brevin Jordan. You know, Brevin Jordan, he sometimes be injury prone, but when he is in the game, he's a great factor for the team. But having Dalton and Kyrie Fairbairn, I see that we're going in the right direction. Hopefully that this team stays healthy throughout the way. Tre'Davious White, Jordan Poyer, those players are available as well. You know, the Bills decided to move on. So there is some young talent out there that the Texans could really, really, really go out there and clean up on. You know, and I could see the Texans really benefiting from those changes. Another thing I want to say is that let's look at this. Chris Jones, he's available. That's the Chiefs D tackle. We don't know if the Chiefs is going to tag him again or they're going to put him on a long-term deal or what the case may be. Saquon Barkley, number one running back available. Josh Jacobs, the number two running back available. Austin Eckler, he probably three or four available. Those are the top three running backs. We know the Texans really need to make a splash in the backfield to add possibly two what they already had if they decide that they're going to bring back our boy Mota. So if they bring back Mota and then we get Saquon or Josh Jacobs, I feel like that's a real, real nice backfield tandem. And not to forget, we still got Damian Pierce under his rookie contract. Hopefully Damian can get it together going into year three and he could be something dominant as well. Austin Eckler, I'm not really too sure how to feel about that one. a lot of people don't know. Austin, he's a decent running back, but he's never had a 1,000-yard receiving. I mean, a 1,000-yard rushing year. And with that being said, that could be a good thing, even though light on the legs and stuff like that. But he's not really a dominant running back. I mean, he's had good teams in front of him, and I just feel like at this point of the Austin's career, the Texans are better off moving away from that, because I feel like they get Austin Ekeler, that's like getting David Johnson again or something like that, you know? So I would persuade them to not get Austin Ekeler. Xavien Howard, he was cut from the Dolphins. We know Howard to be a pretty shutdown corner. I know he had a down year in Miami this past season, you know, some injuries and things like that. But if the Texans could really make that move to get Xavien Howard on a veteran contract or something like that, I'm all for it, especially with the core that we have. And hopefully we can bring Steven Nelson back as well. But hey, if Nelson leaves and we get Howard in replacement, I feel like that's a little bit of an upgrade, especially if Howard could, you know, stay healthy. And we got our boy on the other side, 24, ready to make some plays as well. So, with that being said, is the Texans really headed to getting the happy ending after all? That's the big question for this offseason. Will the Texans get the happy ending? You know, the happy ending to me is us getting a solid D tackle, a solid running back to go behind Stroud, and another receiver. Mike Evans re-upped with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers for 2 years, $52 million. I know everybody was hoping that we get Mike Evans, but there's other receivers out there. T. Higgins, he got paid, so he's off the board. But like I said, there's still other possibilities. You know, next episode, I'll look more into the free agency possibilities, or we might already have signed somebody by that time. But speaking of receivers, man, I also want to say congratulations to Andre Johnson. He is finally officially a Hall of Fame player in the NFL. He gets his gold jacket. And also, I just want to say, man, Andre was an amazing player for the Texans. If we could ever get someone close to his caliber with Stroud as a quarterback, bro, the Texans would be crazy, crazy hard to beat. I'm not saying Collins can't get there, but I just don't see that trajectory for Collins. I do think Collins is going to be a damn good receiver moving forward, and Tank Dell, but none of them is like Andre Johnson. Andre Johnson been deserved that jacket. I'm happy to say that he got it, and he's the first official Houston Texan into the Hall of Fame, you know, that played majority of his career as a Texan. So I'm happy to say that. J.J. Watt is probably up next. But, man, it's nice to know that Andre Johnson is doing big things right now for this Texans franchise as well. He's a great mentor. He's a great person to talk to. And he's also part of the Texans moving in the direction they are finally going in. Currently, because he is a friend of D'Amico Ryans and former teammate of D'Amico Ryans, and I'm pretty sure he put his words in and said D'Amico was the guy. So Andre is still doing big things for the Houston Texans. So there's possible trades out there. Texans may be, you know, headed towards their happy ending with a couple trades or so. They got some good picks, and there's some good players out there to be able to be drafted as well. I don't know what the Texans are going to do moving forward, but as this offseason goes along, of course, I'm going to update you guys on that. That's why I've been taking my time dropping this episode, because I wanted to allow all the news to really accumulate and then kind of dig deep into it. Derrick Henry, possibly going to be a Cowboy. He should have been a Cowboy last season, but if Derrick Henry goes to the Cowboys, that would definitely help the Cowboys' run game, as that was the big struggle for the Cowboys this past postseason and regular season. The situation that they had, they thought was going to work, but they really needed that big back, somebody that could really pull some players along the line of scrimmage and just get to where they needed to get those inches when they couldn't get them, you know. Russell Wilson is going to be cut from the Denver Broncos as soon as the new league year starts. And Russell Wilson has already been in communication with other teams, and possibly he could be a Pittsburgh Steeler coming this next season. You know, we never know what we're going to get from that team. But one thing I would say, if Russell Wilson goes to the Pittsburgh Steelers, they're going to be competitive. Hell, they was competitive with Mason Rudolph, so I know damn well they'll be competitive with an older Russell Wilson, who was having a pretty good season for Denver. So the fact that Denver want to let him go and move on from him is very crazy. I don't know what direction Denver is going to go in, but Russell Wilson will pan out in Pittsburgh, especially under Mike Tomlin and his crew. So I'm looking forward to seeing that as well. Another thing, Cam Newton was in the news again, people. This time he's fighting. He's throwing fists. He's getting jumped and all these kind of crazy things, you know. But the one thing I can say about Cam actually owned up to his mistakes. He also apologized to the media and everyone that, you know, looks upon him as a role model. And he just stated the kind of things that, you know, took place, and he just, you know, expressed how he had to compose himself moving forward, and also just understanding that he is a role model, and he, you know, he just took full accountability for what took place. And sometimes, you know, you gotta defend yourself. You just can't allow things to go out of control and let people take control of who you are, what you are, and try to mark you in the media. And that's what Cam was doing. He was just taking responsibility, but also standing up for himself and having self-control. And Cam, I think, is a great role model for all young quarterbacks or young athletes just to look up to. He's one of the first of us, or black players, to really be in that position in a long time. He's transformed the game, coming from Vic from McNabb and all those guys. Cam was like really the center piece at the time back in 2011-12 when he was drafted. No one was really there to mentor him because all those guys was leaving the game and he was coming into the game, and he really had to mold himself and allow others to follow him and show the world what he could do. You know, unfortunately he didn't get that ring that he wanted, but I can tell you this, you know, I talked about Cam in the past, but I look at some of these players that's on the bottom of the bench, you know, in the NFL, and I'm pretty sure Cam can play better than them. You know, it's crazy that Cam is not in the NFL because he's still hell of an athlete. But even then, he's humble enough, and, you know, he knows where he should be. But even then, with that all being said, Cam is moving forward, and he's got 707 going, and he's doing other things to help the sport grow. And that's all that really matters, you know, growth and unity. And that's what really matters to Cam Newton. So, moving on to the NBA, I want to talk about the Houston Rockets first. The Houston Rockets have disappointed, of course, so far. They're 27-35 on the season. They have recently lost to the Clippers. But even, you know, with that being said, the Rockets are doing better than what they were last season, or they're a better team than they were last season overall. You know, would I say I'm impressed with how they're going or where they're going right now? No, I'm not, because at the beginning of the season, I figured that the Rockets would be on a trajectory of at least being in the play-in or eighth seed right now, and they're not there. Last time I talked to you guys, I was talking about the tough schedule that the Rockets had ahead when they played the Suns three times, the Thunder twice, and then at the end of that, they had the Spurs, and then they had the Clippers. Very, very tough, you know. And I said I didn't see the Rockets winning a lot of those games. And unfortunately, Exactly. That's exactly what happened. They beat the Suns twice, though. They lost to the Thunder twice. And they lost to the Suns one game and the Clippers. Now, looking forward, they got the Trailblazers, Kings, Spurs on the road. And then they got the Wizards and the Cavs and the Wizards again. That is like the next that is like the next 12 days or so of Rockets basketball, you know. And I'll be honest, like, even just looking at the month of March, the schedule is very, very favorable for the Rockets. And to see them put that two-game win streak together and see how Alpi could dominate Wembanyama and get 45 points, it's pretty amazing. I like what I seen out of Jalen Green. Green was averaging 30-some points over three games, you know. And if the Rockets can continue to play through Green, play through Alpi in this next upcoming 8-10 games, man, the Rockets will be in a good position to possibly get back in that play-in talk. Because looking at the Blazers aren't really good. The Rockets can beat them. The Kings are a solid team, but the Rockets have beaten them, and they can beat them again. Spurs, we know the Rockets can beat them, but the Spurs are a competitive team when they want to be. Wizards, same team. You know, same thing. They can beat them. The Cavs is going to be a little tough, but they can be beat. The Rockets have been right there with them. The Rockets' biggest issue is that they're young and they're inconsistent. If they can put that together, the Rockets could definitely be a different kind of team. I wanted to break down some of the problems I see out of all of these players. It's nice to see that Steven Adams is with the team now, so maybe they can use his mentorship. But of course, he's injured, so he's just on the bench. But Dillon Brooks, I like what I see out of Dillon Brooks, mostly on night-to-night basis. He has a little weapon wheel where he can play with his back to the basket. He can shoot it deep, and he can shoot it deep consistently. Dillon isn't the best defender that we thought he was going to be, but he's still pretty solid, and you could throw Dillon on any team's best offensive player each night. Tari Eason is out for the season. He's finally getting a surgery. I don't know why the Rockets decided to wait so long for Tari to get this surgery, but this dude's been out for, what, a month or a month and a half, and then all of a sudden they say he's going to schedule a surgery and get whatever fixed or something in his knee or some, whatever the case may be. I feel like the Rockets should have been hopped on that. That's just crazy to me. He could have been recovering already and being prepared for the next season. Honestly, though, this might sound crazy to y'all, but I think the Rockets probably should move on from Tari Eason. He's a damn good player when he's healthy, but I've started to notice that he's becoming a little bit more injury prone as he ages. And he is young. He's only 22, so a lot of things can change, but I think the Rockets should have made a splash before the trade deadline to help improve this team by getting a big man that can actually play. And that would have helped us burst forward into playoff contention and closing out some of these games. Because talking about Sengun is a hell of an offensive player. He can rebound sometime. But the one thing I noticed about Sengun, he doesn't dominate the average center that goes up against him. And that's my problem with him. I feel like there's a lot of players that he faced that he should just dominate on the glass and when he gets the ball. And then there's times where he gets frustrated or he doesn't try to play hard or he takes a night off or something, you know, and it really hurts the team. And I see that Ime Udoka has to really talk to him and get him motivated. And by that time, it's too late. You know, Sengun out there trying to play bully ball and things like that, and it's just not working. Another thing Sengun needs to do is he just needs to put in the work. He needs to work on becoming more in shape. I can't really say more athletic, but he got to figure out how to get every ounce of his athleticism out of his frame, because it's really not there, and that's where he lacks, you know, in athleticism, intangibles, things like that. But he got a moveset that can really make him dangerous. If he hustles more, a lot of that stuff, he will be able to clean up. But Sengun, overall, 21 years old, doing what he's doing right now, man. He's one hell of a player, and he could really be like the next version of Jokic or better if he really puts his mind to it and puts the work in. Jalen Green really be showing us nice flashes, but he always does that. And I just don't know how Jalen Green is going to really unlock himself and really get into the game to where he can really be dominant, because we've seen it. Like I said, he's putting up 30 points, you know, on several nights. But the one thing I would say, I think a lot of that is it has to play into effect by Jalen Green being more aggressive, or Udoka putting the ball in Jalen Green's hands. Jalen lacks on defense, but what two guard really doesn't, that's more ball dominant anyways. Another thing I would say is VanVleet. VanVleet can be inconsistent. He's a great player. I really can't knock VanVleet on a lot of things. He could be a better shooter sometimes, but I feel like VanVleet needs to work on his ability to get open and get an open shot, possibly. The one thing that hurts VanVleet the most is that he's not that tall, and I feel like if he worked with somebody like Chris Paul or some, or, you know, watch his leg work, then I think VanVleet will be a much better player, because he need like a step back or some kind of floater or fade or something like that to his game that will really open up his weapon wheel as well. Who else I want to talk about, man, on this team? I really like what I'm seeing out of Whitmore. Cam Whitmore, he's been a dominant offensive player, and if he could put the defense together on the other side, you know, man, we're talking about 6'7", 230, nice frame, 19 years old, 6'7", right now. He could possibly grow another inch or two. You just never know. But Cam Whitmore is going to be one special player, and I really believe Cam should get starter minutes or sixth man minutes at the least, you know. Cam is really nice. Amen Thompson just needs to work on his offensive game, work on finding players, you know, getting them open even more. He's an amazing player that's 6'7 and a forward body, but it's also actually a guard. And if Thompson can really just work on becoming a better scoring threat, he's going to go from this rookie level to elite levels real fast. I can tell you that. Jabari is the last player I want to talk about. Jabari, man, he's a special player. You know, he got the length, he got the frame, he could build it, he could be whatever he really want to be right now. He could be the next Durant if he want to, but he got to put the work in. He got to work on not being like his daddy. You know, not being a below average player, but becoming a true all-time starter, at least from deep, from shooting the three. You know, something Jabari got to do is get some more size and work on his threes. If he can do that, Jabari can be a special player, especially just with the size, because there's a lot of times where he's up against guys that's just too big for him, but he got the length and he got the speed and all those things. But if he can just have a knack for just being 3-and-D, locking up, man, and just being able to really use that frame to his full potential, Jabari can go far. 20 years old, 6'11", is very crazy. I would just like to see how the Rockets really use this team moving forward, what they do in the offseason. But to me, so far, the Rockets have thrown this season away, but they got a very, very favorable upcoming schedule, like I said. And hopefully, you know, in these next, 20 games or whatever they got left on the schedule, the Rockets can really pull through and come close to a playoff push. I just really would like to see them in that play-in tournament, because I feel like if they get in there, they can really make some noise and just, you know, create a little drama. So, Rockets, let's do it, man. Let's do it. Let's make some changes. Let's get it going. And let's finish strong, because this season, y'all really got to play hard, because we don't have them picks no more. We can't just, you know, trash the season anymore, Rockets. So, with that being said, let's look at the Eastern Conference and Western Conference. let's talk about where the teams are, who's balling out. Currently, Minnesota's still number one, or they tied for number one with Oklahoma City. Unfortunately, Cat has just went down. He got a meniscus tear in his knee or whatever. And I would hate to say it, but that have probably knocked off Minnesota for the rest of the season. You know what I'm saying? When they get into the postseason, they're probably going to be very, very one-dimensional with Anthony Edwards really being the only person to really make moves and score. But they still got Rudy Gobert, but we already know what Rudy can do. So it'll still be interesting to see how this team plays out. But that number one seed, I think, is really finna drop. OKC is still up there. They're a pretty good team. SGA, man, special player. They got some nice role players on that team. I don't know how it's really going to fare for them when it comes to postseason and everything starts to slow down and who's really going to stick out besides SGA. But I can tell you right now, they're looking really nice and really good. Denver is going to be the same Denver that we've all known. But I don't think they're going to really work out this year in the postseason. I might eat those words, but I don't really see them going all the way. But I do see them going deep. The Clippers. I feel like the Clippers can really put things together. I know the Rockets lost in them and had a big margin on them, but the Rockets had a blueprint on how to beat the Clippers. But I'm going to tell you this, man. With the players that the Clippers got, you know, they got Leonard, Harden, George, Iman. You know, they got somebody nice down low. It's really hard to beat this Clippers team, and I really see that Clipper team going deep into the playoffs, and it's really just going to be about consistency for them. Can Harden get a team what they need in the postseason for the first time in his career to where he can really close out games? Or can he just do enough to where he put the team in a position where Leonard can really just take control and close out the game? George isn't the same player either, but he's still a great player. You know, there's still a lot of question marks for this Clippers team. I know they just, you know, coming together this season. But what they're doing can be very, very special. They got a big three. They got the players in place to really be special. And the Clippers can really go deep. New Orleans Pelicans, they're in the playoff race. They're the 5 seed. They can really make a push. And I would just like to see Zion stay healthy and see what this team can do once they really make it that deep. And, you know, see if they can make a couple moves or two. Phoenix Suns. Devin Booker had went down against the Rockets not too long ago. We know KD is still KD, but I feel like KD lost a step or two. You know what I'm saying? I could be wrong, but he's still KD, and I'm not going to disrespect him. Devin Booker is a great player. They got a nice little nucleus around him. They got some interior in a, you know, that can really slow people down. But I feel like the Suns team is really missing something, especially with Aiden gone now. And it's really interesting to see how they do. But a matchup with the Nuggets and Suns possibly being in the playoffs is really going to be interesting, because one of these teams is going to fall out and the bottom's going to fall real hard. You know what I'm saying? Kings is a real nice team. A lot of people is probably going to sleep on. De'Aaron Fox is a special player. They also got Sabonis, you know. So with those two players being a dual threat, I already know the Kings gonna knock somebody off. And if it's the Thunder come the playoffs 2-7, I could see the Kings really doing that, because like I said, the Thunder, I feel like they got SGA, but they really don't have anybody else to really, really be scared of. But they do have a nice nucleus overall. Eighth seed is Dallas. Dallas probably may make the playoffs. Who knows? You know, you got the play-in. You got the Lakers at 9. You got the Warriors at 10. Jazz at 11. And Rockets at 12. Right now, the Rockets 27-35. Eighth seed is 34-28. The Rockets got to play catch up. The Lakers are right there. Not too really worried about the Lakers, to be honest. Warriors can really make some noise, though, and get into the playoffs. But even then, that's a team that I'm not too much really worried about. And to be honest, I just feel like they kind of passed their prime now. I know it's sad to say, crazy to say, but y'all did see how the Celtics dominated them by, what, 50-some points? And getting into the Eastern Conference playoffs, or just the Eastern Conference standings, the Celtics is the top dog in the NBA right now. They're dominating almost every team, especially at home. They dominated the Warriors, made the Warriors look like a bad team. That, we're talking about Curry, Paul, Thompson, Draymond, all playing on the floor and getting dominated very, very bad. Milwaukee is still on the right track with Doc Rivers. I don't know to say that they took a step back or, you know, they're not as special or whatever, but they still got Dame Lillard, they still got Giannis, and they still got your other guy that could shoot the three as well and spread the floor. Milwaukee is a special team. I like to see how they do in the playoffs. Cleveland, I love Spider-Man. I feel like Cleveland is right where they're supposed to be right now. I said this earlier. I said that Cleveland should be like a top three seed, and right now they're sitting at three. And I just like to see how Spider can really take over a game. I'm still waiting for Spider to really take that game up another notch, because I know he got it in him and he could be a little bit more special. But I just don't know if Cleveland is the right destination for him to do that. Orlando is really destined for some kind of success. The four seed, you know, they got some young talent, and I'm really happy to see that this team is where they are. And this is where the Rockets should be, man. The Rockets should be 37-26 right now. Honestly, that's how I feel. The Rockets should be where Orlando is, but unfortunately, we are not. And I think a lot of that is due to the past 2 years where we had a coach that was not very competent in what he was putting on the floor. And also, he didn't have he had the same management we got now, but he didn't have a management that was really trying to help him either. But Orlando is in the right place right now, and I like to see how they do come playoff time. Honestly, they might fall in the first round against the Knicks, who are at the 5 seed. But the Knicks is a pretty solid team as well. Jalen Brunson, and then you got the other big guy in the middle that can spread the floor as well. So the Knicks, you know what they're bringing, and they're going to be special as well. I like to see these two teams match up if the season ends and those two teams face each other in the postseason. Looking at 6th seed Miami Heat, it's nice to see that Miami has fought their way back into the playoff race. And that's why I said you can't never count this team out. They play great defense. But, you know, I'll be honest. I think this is Miami's last run. If Miami can't get it done this go around, Miami is probably going to break up that team, you know. But it's nice to see what they got there. And if they're 6th seed and they're going to face off against the Cavs, it's going to be a nice matchup. But I think the Cavs can top Miami Heat this go-around. Philadelphia 76ers is out there ready to shine. 7th seed. They're not really where you expect them to be. The Sixers are a team that probably should be about 5 seed, you know. Hopefully they get Maxey back, they get Embiid back, and they get Bright back into the fight. 7th seed Sixers can be still dangerous, though, and you just never know what you might get. But even then, if they stayed at the 7th seed and they faced off against Milwaukee, that would be a very, very nice two-team tandem going against each other, you know, or two-player tandems facing each other, however you want to put it. Indiana, special team. Halliburton, special player, nice score, can do some good things, but he's not going to do much against Boston. I'm going to tell you that right now. Boston would probably sweep the Indiana Pacers with the teams that they have currently constructed. Chicago's in the fight at 9, Atlanta at 10, and Brooklyn at 11. Those three teams is pretty interesting. I think Chicago probably does have the best fighting chance to get into the play-in, though, and knocking out Indiana, if anybody can possibly do it. That's what I think. So, that's my talk on the NBA, people. I know we've been talking a little while, a little long on the NBA, but hey, let's change the subject. let's get right into college basketball. The Houston Cougars are number one in college basketball on the men's side, and they have been balling all year long. A lot of people didn't expect the Cougars to win the Big 12. Congrats to the Cougars. They have clinched the Big 12 share as they are the number one seed in the conference, and they are number one in the country. The Cougars are 14-3 in conference play. They have one game left against Kansas. This is going to be a special game against Kansas because the last time they faced Kansas, they were playing at Kansas, and they lost. They lost to the Kansas Jayhawks. So this game, they will be facing off against number 14 Kansas, and it's Kansas. You know what I mean? That's one of those blue blood teams. So Houston will be at home this time, and we're going to get our fair shot at the Kansas Jayhawks. So I would like Houston chances in that game. And let's just talk about the matchup. You know, this is the last game of the season. Houston has a 91.2% chance of winning this game. And Kansas has an 8.8% chance of winning this game. Crazy enough to say, I didn't expect that Houston would be favored by that big of a margin. But I'll be honest, I like Houston to win this game, but I don't really feel like this game is really important to Houston at this point. And I think Houston might actually take a L. Houston, although did, like I said, lose to Kansas last time, and it was a lot more important. But at this point, there's no importance for Houston to really win this game other than a little pride and tap on the back. I actually think Kelvin Sampson may possibly sit and rest some of his players as we have allocated some injuries so far this season. And the players' health is very important to the Cougars right now, especially going into that Big 12 tournament that they still must play. But then again, you know, I thought about it. They might give it all right here against Kansas, defeat Kansas, and then rest up in the tournament, you know, because overall, the Cougars are still going to be in a high place in the tournament when it comes to the NCAA tournament later in March going into April. So there's different things you can look at, different things that may be important for this Houston Cougars team, but I'm not really sure how to go about it, but I guess we'll have to just sit back and see what the Houston Cougars decide to do. Now, Iowa State is right behind Houston. Houston did clean them up. They beat Baylor as well. So if Houston can beat Kansas, they pretty much beat everybody in this conference, you know. So I think that's a big goal. But, hey, they did take care of Oklahoma, and they did take care of Texas. And those are the two schools that are going to the SEC. And we recently just took care of UCF, a former AAC team that we have to face, and we will be facing them in the future. So overall, the Houston Cougars are in a good position. They're in a driving position. And if we just want to look at some of the top schools in college basketball right now, Houston is number one. UConn is number two. UConn is actually 26-3. They play well at home, but they're not so good on the road as, you know, what I heard. But they have the same record as the Houston Cougars. So it would be nice to see Houston and UConn play against each other. You know, those two teams used to play against each other in the AAC before UConn made its move. But hopefully we get to see that matchup in the tournament. Hopefully Houston goes deep. I have this fear that Houston is not going to go as deep as I would like them to because of the injuries that they have gained. But hopefully some of those young players that have been recruited or have been sitting out can really step it up and make some big plays so the Houston Cougars can make it to the Final Four. But Houston, UConn, Purdue, Tennessee, Arizona, Iowa State, North Carolina, Duke, Marquette, and Creighton, and out there in Baylor at 11 as well. Just to say, Arizona is going to be in the Big 12 next year. Iowa State will be there. Houston will be there. Those are three Big 12 teams. You know what I'm saying? The Big 12 conference is going to be even tougher when it comes to basketball going into the next season. So I would say this is the year that Houston should dominate. It was tough this year. A lot of people might not agree. But the Big 12 is the toughest conference that you can play in basketball right now. And I think it will be even tougher going into the next season, in my opinion. But overall, the Cougars are on the right track to success. And I hope that they can stay healthy, get stronger, and get even better with time. And I'd like to see what kind of strategy Coach Sampson takes into the next 2 weeks as they prepare for the actual NCAA tournament and prepare for their Big 12 tournament. But with that being said, man, the college football game is really in the making. EA has shown us a little trailer, you know, just to get our first looks in, see what it's going to look like or possibly look like. The players are opting in or opting out, you know, and they're getting like $500 to $600 just to have their name, image, and likeness in the game. But one famous player of college football has decided that he does not want to be in the game, and that player is Arch Manning. Arch Manning said he don't care about being on no green screen. He plays on the field. You know, that's kind of funny he said that, because Arch Manning plays on neither one. Arch Manning is not going to be in the game, and he has not touched the field. And when he has, it's only been for a couple minutes. And with Quinn Ewers coming back, Arch Manning is going to be on the sideline again, unless Ewers does something to mess up his starting lineup opportunities and allow Arch Manning to step in. So I don't understand it, man. I would have took my free $600. I would love to be in a video game if it was me. I don't understand why it's even a big deal. Dude, just get in the game. He's just afraid that he's going to see somebody rated higher than him. He sounds like a Bill Belichick or something. You know, Bill Belichick didn't want to be in the Madden video game. And finally, he's retired. So the Patriots will finally have a coach, an actual coach, in the game. So that would be nice to see, right? Moving on, though, man. Let's talk about some big things. Some boxing. First off, I got to talk about Canelo. Canelo is leaving PBC to go to DAZN or DAZN. So that means no Charlo fight. He was going to finally fight Jamal Charlo, the twin that he should have been fighting. And now he's avoiding that fight, because I believe the right Charlo brother was going to whoop him. And then he's avoiding the Benavidez fight, which is another boxer that was going to whoop him. And now he's setting the fight up, you know, setting fight ups to go against nobodies. Like, come on, Canelo, bro. You sit up here and you talk about how good of a boxer you are and nobody can stop you. You try to get in the ring. You try to bully these little guys that you know there are nobodies and try to continue to add to your record and things like that. But you're fighting nobody. You're not even fighting boxers that just fell out of their prime. You're fighting guys that was never in a prime. Like, come on, Canelo, man. Right now at this point, bro, I have no respect for Canelo. Because the guys he tried to fight is nobody, you know. And then he tried to take charge and try to make it seem like the guys that want to fight him are nobody. But those are the guys like David Benavidez and Charlo who has really proven themselves against other boxers. And lately, Canelo has not proven himself against nobody. I give him the other Charlo fight. You know what I'm saying? But even then in that fight, I just felt like it was a lot of things going on in that fight. And Charlo just didn't take advantage. But I already talked about that. I don't want to talk about it again. Also, they got Jake Paul versus Tyson set for July 20th on Netflix. I'm tired of seeing these Paul brothers really setting up these crazy fights. Is it really going to be a real fight, or is this really just some exhibition comedy crap? You know what I'm saying? Jake Paul versus Mike Tyson. Tyson is what, 50 some years old? Paul is a young dude that's not really a true boxer. But hey, people going to sit and watch it, and hopefully Tyson is really out there boxing Because if it's a real fight, I like to see a quick knockout from Tyson, even at this old age. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm tired of them young guys out there trying to, you know, floss and throw their name around. And then, you know, you got the one Paul brother that was talking about fighting Ryan Garcia and all that. It's just, man, you know, it's really just ridiculous. I think that was Jake Paul, too, that was trying to set something up like that. But, hey, I guess if we see him fight against some real, real boxers that we really know, it would look a little bit better. But we talking about an old Mike Tyson, man. That's just for money. That's just for show. But the one big fight that we do need to talk about is Ngannou and Joshua. You know, that's coming along the way eventually, and that's going to be pretty interesting. That's the big fight coming up, and I'm gonna ride with Joshua though. Joshua, he's a big boxer. He's a technical boxer, though, and he really know how, you know, how to get around a ring. I have seen Joshua duck against some other boxers, but I'm gonna tell you this, man. Ngannou, he got a lot of power, but he's a UFC fighter, and even though, you know, he should have beat what's her face, man. I forgot his name right now, and that's the point. Because he don't fight nobody either. But Francis Ngannou, I think he's going to deliver some good punches. He might rock Joshua a couple times, but Joshua got the reach. He got the footwork. He's a true boxer. He's not a brawler. And I think that's going to really work in his favor. But if Ngannou is anything like Mike Tyson, like they claim he is, and he's been working with Tyson, if he can duck and dodge some of them jabs and he really can get up under Joshua, it's really going to be a tough fight for Joshua moving forward. So I think we all interested in seeing what the true outcome is of this fight. Ngannou had fought Tyson Fury, and we really know who really won that fight. I don't understand how Tyson Fury keeps coming away with some of these decision wins. But I like to see this wheel go around, man. I like to see Ngannou fight Joshua. I like to see him fight Wilder and some of those other big guys out there. But this is going to be a must-watch for us all, you know. I'm going to ride with Joshua, like I said. But I really think Ngannou can really make these stakes very, very close. And he can become a true title contender if he somehow figure out how to push through and beat Anthony Joshua. Last thing I want to talk about to clear the air is the Houston Astros. The Houston Astros are in spring training right now. Unfortunately, Justin Verlander will begin the season on IL. His old ass can't get it together. He got to get his arm up to good shape and things like that. But even with that being said, he won't be the only pitcher on IL. We're still waiting on... We're still waiting on our boy, Lance McCullers. He's not expected back until the end of the summer. So that won't be until, what, September? This guy has been missing a lot of time. Man, Kendall Graveman, he's going to miss the whole season. Luis Garcia, I expect him to be better this year, hopefully. The Astros' biggest problem is pitching. Pitching health, really. They got the pitchers. They got young pitchers like J.P. France, Forrest Whitley, and things like that. Some of them guys might never even, you know, see the majors field throughout the season. But they might get lucky. You know, you got this Sean Dubin dude. You like, they have a lot of potential in the pitching wheel works, but the Astros got to figure it out. They didn't go out and get nobody that you expected them to. They didn't sign no big money player this year.
Besides Josh Hader.
They got a lot of players. And honestly, I like where the Astros are, you know, going into finalizing everything. But they got to figure out ways to improve or stay healthy or something. And that's where the Astros stand right now. You know, it's still early. It's still spring season. For the Astros, and hopefully by April, as everything's everything ramps up for the Astros. Hopefully they're on the right trajectory to being healthy and winning some baseball games as they have to prepare for a long, long season of baseball. Well, people, that's the wrap on this episode. Thank you for listening. Don't forget to share and subscribe. Remember, I'm on all your favorite platforms. Family, join us all and get your Houston sports apparel and show love. Thank you. Stay fly or get fly like a true connoisseur by getting the Houston Sports Connoisseur apparel.